We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, welcome back to the Her Hoop Stats podcast. We are coming at you. It's actually Saturday morning at 1244.
My computer's in simpleton.
Oh, that's right. 1:44 a.m. Eastern and local time on Saturday morning. There's this immediate reaction podcast right after what I think was a great night of women's basketball. So cheers, everybody. We're going to chat about it for a few minutes.
Cheers to all.
Definitely seemed like a great night of hoops. What's your first takeaway from what we saw tonight? Is it the foul or is it something else? We have to talk about the foul at some point.
So we're starting with UConn, Iowa then.
We have to start with UConn, Iowa.
Start with the late game.
What's your takeaway from it, Megan? You're our resident UConn hater / homer, as I pointed out. But certainly you follow that team super closely and you've followed them for many, many years. What's your takeaway from tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I thought they did a lot of stuff right in the first half. I thought we could roll them, like, a bit more. It was absolutely fantastic. One of her best games of her college career. Great way to go out. I think Paige did well. Like, the foul call, we can talk about it. I don't agree with, but they didn't make a lot of plays in the second half either.
Yeah, sure. I agree. Calvin, what's your take?
Well, from the whole night?
Let's talk about that specifically.
I mean, yeah, I agree with Megan on all of that. And, like, my biggest takeaway is what I told you guys earlier about how they fielded questions about the foul in the press conference. That
yes,
gave me so much respect for those players for handling that so professionally. But in terms of the game, I mean, like, what Megan said, like, Megan looked at me when Nika hit that three towards the end. She said, the Nika Mule game. And it felt like if UConn would have pulled that out, that would have been the Nika Mule game. She was so good. Obviously, hit that timely three and hit a couple in the first quarter. But her defense, especially in the first half, really all game out. And she came up a little bit hobbled at one point.
Yes.
That game came back in. Still was dogging on defense as best as she could. I was thoroughly impressed.
Yeah, I thought she had a just tremendous game on the defensive end. I mean, Clark got her especially. He knew she was going to get them. But in the first half, she really made Caitlin Clark triple. And I think that was a big part of why this game was so close is because Caitlin Clark had, 6 points at the half?
I think that's right.
The last time that happened, it was probably a long time ago. A lot of the credit for that. I mean, they played great team defense, but a lot of the credit for that goes straight to Nika Mule. And then credit to Iowa for making adjustments because in the second half, Caitlin got hers, and I thought Hannah Stolfi was absolutely fantastic for Iowa today. She was the reason they won that game.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of ways we go off of that. I thought that, you know, for a while it seemed like maybe it was going to be the Kate Martin game. You know, it was the Hannah Stolke game. I thought there was a lot of different people already talk about maybe being the Nika Mühl game. A lot of contributions from everyone. And I think one thing that really impressed me was how it was an incredibly pro-Iowa crowd, right? There was no doubt who was the biggest fan base in the building. It got a little loud in moments for UConn. But UConn really, for almost the entire game, and then really that last minute, they took a ton of punches from Iowa and recovered, right? There were a few moments where Iowa tied it up, UConn answered. Iowa tied it up, UConn answered. I thought that was really impressive because, you know, the sort of the environment made you feel like Iowa was on that run and we're going to, not quite to the degree South Carolina did, but kind of take the lead in the third quarter and keep going. And UConn, you know, almost won the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's a testament to, one, the schedule that UConn has played this season. Like, they played on the road at South Carolina. Yeah. They played on the road at Texas. Like, they played in those environments. This isn't the first time they've been in that environment. And then, I mean, the way they rolled with the punches is just what this team does. They've been extremely resilient. I think when you look at, like, this team being the Final Four, despite six seasons-ending injuries, like, yeah, they lost to Miami, but it's the height of the season for what they had.
Absolutely. One other thing that struck me was that I thought Caitlin Clark was playing within herself, maybe to some degree. One thing that seemed different in the first half than usually what we see is her kind of just ability to decide she was going to take a shot and, you know, create separation with that step back. And at least that, I think part of it was she chose not to do it. I think part of it was the defense. And then I think she did sort of assert herself more. But I thought it was interesting also how much she was trusting her teammates the whole time as well.
She really was, and I was impressed with how she came back in the second half and responded. But also, like, UConn threw a lot at her. Obviously, Nika went crazy on defense. Like Megan and I were talking about them putting Paige on her when she was inbounding on baseline out of bounds. They were switching some even like off the ball to just kind of like throw Caitlin off and give her different looks, and it was obviously working. And then Iowa responded in the second half, and like the first few plays of the second half. I think they used Caitlin as a screener on one of them and got someone open just because Nika couldn't leave her. And then they ran her off like a double stagger. They ran her one way off a dribble handoff and then back to the left off a double stagger, and they had to switch. And UConn didn't have an answer for that. And she knocked down her first three of the game in the third quarter on that play, which usually she doesn't go to the third quarter without a three. But I feel like that was the moment where I was like, all right, they've sort of figured this out. They took the defense and they're going to be able to get themselves back in this game.
Yeah. I mean, they were really out of it. I thought they were out down 10 for a while in the first half, but they had cut it to 6 by halftime, too. So yeah, I feel like you knew that there was going to be a game, right? Like, you knew Caitlin wasn't going to score 6 points. What would have been the last game of her collegiate career? She only scored 6 points. So I think you knew that that wasn't going to be how the game ended.
Yeah, she had 13 actually at the end of the third quarter. We had Adam had tweeted out a stat that we had that, you know, I think she now has 14, with tonight it's 48 games that she scored 20 plus. And so, you know, we tweeted out that, you know, it was at sort of at risk or whatever at the end of the third quarter, but sure enough, I think she finished with 23 tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think for as much as this was billed as like Paige versus Caitlin, it was absolutely the other players on the team.
Yes, Sulky was the high scorer. I will say, Aaliyah Edwards, I was left. There were moments when she looked incredible, and then there were other moments when it just didn't feel like she was stepping up. I thought she needed to.
I don't think Aaliyah had her best game. Yeah. I think, yeah, she wasn't her best game. She ball super well. She had a lot of more mid-range shots that she took, which she knocks down sometimes, but it just, it's, you know, when she gets to the basket, that's where she's her best. Defensively, that was foul trouble stuff too. So I don't
know. She only finished with 3 fouls though. Look,
the way that the game was being called to an extent, like, I think she knew she had to be careful.
Yeah, it says a lot about Aaliyah that it maybe wasn't her best game. And you can look out of way at the box score. You can look across the box score.
Yeah, she
put up numbers in basically every category. Right. Read her.
Well, the most impressive thing was all the steals. She had, I think, 4 steals at the end of the first quarter. Was it 5 at the end? She finished with 5. Yeah. She had, her line was 17 points. She had, the 5 steals, 3 assists, 8 rebounds.
Not the best game.
Yes. Yeah.
But like,
yeah,
still really impressive performance overall. Yeah. I think it's just all American, and she's held to that standard. But
Exactly.
It's my most standards.
Yeah. So yeah, I thought that was good. You know, Gino, I think, made the comment like for them to win kind of at this point in the season, right? You needed to be Paige and Aaliyah really going off and then third here and just didn't quite get that. Very, very close. I know you in particular said you thought it was a toss-up ahead of the game. I know that I felt similarly. And it really played out that way. I think a lot of America might have expected Iowa to dominate. But, you know, I think you got a very compelling 10th game.
Yeah, I agree. It was a great game. I guess we have to talk about that. And unfortunately, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, well, we have to talk about that. Everybody else is talking about it. So, Calvin, do you want to start with your opinion on that last call?
I feel like we should walk through what happened. We just give opinions.
Go for it. Yeah.
Was it the Iowa head ball, I think, up one, 30 seconds left or so in the game. There's like about a 9-second difference between the shot clock and the game clock. Caitlin goes, drives in the lane, kicks it over to Stulke. I think it was KK Arnold that got him passing the lane. I'm not sure who tipped it, honestly. Someone from UConn tipped it. They get, I don't know, their 20-something turnover they forced to the game. They forced a lot of turnovers. UConn obviously takes timeout, gets the ball in, goes to run whatever they drew up out of the huddle, and a offensive foul was called on Leah Edwards for a moving screen, which wasn't moving the screen. I just don't think you call that in that moment, in my opinion. So the game gets decided by the officials instead of by what could have been a great finish of a buzzer beater or a missed shot.
Yeah, definitely fancy from that.
Yeah.
So to your opinion, not a foul, in a foul.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was really great. Yes, it was foul. Yeah. It was barely a foul. I would say it wasn't like a very obvious, like she like slid and like knocked Gabby Marshall over 5 feet on the ground or something.
Yeah,
it wasn't like a you need to call it foul.
Yeah, it's definitely the kind of foul that I think gets like
that,
in a lot of situations.
They probably didn't call
even
for
though
the whole game. Yeah,
I think Gino had the comment right that there were. He said there were 3 or 4 illegal screens called on them. I don't know. I kind of missed that. Yeah, and none on Iowa. Gino pointed out politely, but yeah, no. To me, it seemed like. I mean, I think it was a foul, but it's also not a foul that you call in that moment. And that seemed to be a lot of people thinking that on Twitter as well. I saw a lot of people were commenting, like, what a great sign it is. The like terrible call is trending on Twitter about a women's basketball game.
It'd be better if we could have a great end game like scenario trending on Twitter instead of talking about the officials.
Maybe. What did you think about that call, Adam?
I will say I'm always a proponent of like, if it's the correct call, make the call no matter what the time and score is. But I'm also, that being said, not actually convinced that was the correct call. Like, if it's a very obvious offensive foul, then I think even if it's like 5 seconds left in a 1-point game, you gotta call the obvious offensive foul. But I don't think it was an obvious offensive foul in this case. So I agree. I would have liked to see it not be called. I would have liked to see the game be decided on that page 3 that it looked like she was going to get coming around that screen.
You know, maybe I was sitting in the wrong spot, but it was not clear to me that she was going to have a great look. It wasn't like they called her while the ball
was going to be a great look, but she was going to get a shot off.
She was going to get a shot off.
Yeah.
And maybe it didn't go in, but
like I would have much rather watch a ball bounce off the rim to decide the game than to watch it.
Yeah, certainly instead of Austin's butt.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, yeah, anyhow, I'm in the minority on that, but I definitely watched the tape. I don't know if I'm going to rewatch this game tonight.
Like 2 o'clock here.
So and that is young here.
Yes. You're younger than me, as we've talked about, though. So I don't think I'll be necessarily doing that, although it'll probably be easy to find that clip on Twitter, that's for sure. Cool. Anything else you want to say about UConn, Iowa?
I guess just reiterating, like, fantastic.
Okay, now everyone's going to talk about Kenny. I think the last few games, look at her going toe to toe with the LSU front court, mm-hmm. all Americans, WNBA players, and then in this game against Aaliyah Edwards, all American WNBA player. I think Hannah Stolke has been coming on
Absolutely. Yeah. Lisa Bluter commented that in the press conference, right? That I guess she's a young sophomore. I don't have her exact birthday, but I think she's probably young for being a sophomore, and just talking about you know, how they really were trying to instill this kind of positive thinking, not negative thinking, in her mindset for kind of what she can accomplish. She finished tonight with 23 points and three rebounds as well, and just kind of in 37 and a half minutes. So she actually was the highest scorer for the game. Caitlin had 21.
I thought she kept him in the game in the first half when Caitlin wasn't bringing anything offensively, at least in terms of scoring.
Yeah.
And the way that they were guarding Caitlin, selling out on her, they went to Hannah Stolke just like on the elbow a few times and let her just go rip and get a bucket one-on-one, and she did. And that was huge for them being able to be within striking distance at halftime.
Yeah, I think she's probably the only player that's shot the ball well in the first half.
Yeah, she was not. She's 9 for 12 for the game. Sorry to point that out. Yeah, I think we at one point she was 4 of 5, and the rest of the team was 7 for 24.
Never goes well for the rest of the team.
Yeah. Great point. So, cool. Okay, so with that, the first game I think we can turn our attention to, South Carolina and NC State. I will say, like, it was a pretty especially compelling game in the first half. I think closer than a lot of people expected. I think it was 32-31 South Carolina at halftime. What were your thoughts about that first half in particular for NC State and then the game as a whole?
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
I thought Zaya James came out and kind of did what she had done to an extent in some of these other games, where she hit a couple big threes to keep them in it, and I thought they played well. Their offense wasn't great even in that first half, but they played well defensively. They forced some turnovers. They just did some things to keep themselves in the game, where you probably, if you're NC State, probably felt really good going into that halftime. Obviously, the final outcome did not end in their favor, but I think like they shot the ball poorly and they still were right there in it at halftime, so they probably felt great at halftime.
Yeah, what are your thoughts?
Exactly. NC State didn't look fazed by the moment. You know, they were the team probably – people talk about UConn not being expected to be here. I think NC State was probably the least expected to be here out of these four teams. It definitely had to be this underdog out of these four. And they looked like they didn't care for 20 minutes. And to me, though, the third quarter, South Carolina – like, NC State went zone and – the fact that South Carolina carved up that zone in the third quarter the way they did, I don't know how many points they scored in the third quarter. Do you have it there?
It was 29, which is the second most in a period since in the final four or championship game. So in the, you know, in this kind of weekend I forget if it's that or the whole NCAA tournament.
You know where you can check?
You can. Well, yeah. And so it was the second most, and then they also, they held NC State to 6, was the second fewest. So not only was it pretty much the best offensive quarter since we switched to periods, but it was also the best defense, right? Pretty much the best defense.
Exactly. And to me, the story is, we've talked about it all year, about how South Carolina last year, the reason why they didn't win this exact game in the Final Four was because of their shooting. And in that third quarter, against that zone, which may have worked last year, it lit it up. I don't know how many threes they had in that fourth quarter.
Five.
Like five for nine,
I think, but still they made five threes.
They finished.
They shot over 50% for three.
Yeah, they shot 8 for 19 for the game. So that's, you know, better than 40% for the game.
Yeah.
That's why this team's so tough.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, they were definitely clicking on all cylinders, right? And the depth was spectacular as always.
Yeah, I think they had like 20 bench points, maybe it was even more than that. I don't remember if that was at the end of the game or sometime in the like fourth quarter that I looked at. I thought Ashton Watkins was obviously fantastic. 20 something rebounds.
20 rebounds, yeah.
Just insane performance on the glass. I mean, South Carolina just demolished NC State on the glass in general, but yeah, she was fantastic.
I believe it's the most that anyone, Jacob Mox pointed out, I believe, of any, she came off the bench too. She didn't start. So she started the second half. So she finished with the most rebounds at Final Four or championship game off the bench in history.
Well, the coolest thing is, according to the broadcast from their last game, two games ago, she didn't have a very good rebounding game, three or four maybe, but in the Sweet 16. In the Elite Eight, she didn't have 20, but she had a lot.
Yeah.
And the broadcast, I don't know if you guys were watching that game, said that in between the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight after that previous game, she told Dawn Staley, like, look, I didn't play my best. I'm going to come out and be more aggressive. I'm going to get after it on the boards. And she backed it up in the Elite Eight. Oh, and today, she backed it up and then some. The last 80 minutes for her, she has absolutely been putting her money where her mouth is.
Yeah. I mean, you probably are not surprised your 20 is her career high, but her previous career high was 15, so she broke it by five. And if you think about, you know, all some of the dominant wins, even more dominant wins than this they've had against teams that are not of the caliber of NC State, to do it on the stage is amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. She's just great. Also, like, Raven Johnson just continues to impress me in this tournament, where she just chases the other team's point guard around the floor, like, relentlessly for the entire time that she's on the court. And again, she had a couple clutch threes, which I think we've seen from her in a lot of these games now, where she just hits threes, but at the right moment, too.
Yeah, not only that, she had 5 assists tonight and 0 turnovers. I thought that, to me, some of the, NC State had been shooting kind of a little bit much better than they had. You know, Zaya James in particular came in 16 for 28 at this point in the tournament, and then she got up to 18 for 30 at one point. I think she, did she hit her first two or she did 3?
I mean, 2 for 3.
Yeah. Either way, I think part of what happened, a lot of it was South Carolina's spectacular play, but, classic, statistical approach, definitely a bit of regression. I mean, she finished 3 for 10. So, I mean, she went 1 for 7 in her last 7 threes of the game. And so, you're not going to be able, you need her to be playing at an otherworldly level to, keep the game, keep this game nip and tuck versus a team like South Carolina.
Yeah, someone else I feel like we should talk about is Camila Cardoso, because she's unstoppable on offense. I don't know what she had, but she didn't even play a whole lot in the second half. I know she came back out after that ankle, but they didn't really need her a lot and kind of let her rest down the stretch. And what did she have, points and minutes? Because
not a lot of points. Exactly. She scored 22 points in just under 22:41, so just under 23 minutes.
Basically a point a minute.
Yeah, now that in in the Final Four or a championship game, it was, she's the third or fourth player to have, 22 points in that or more in that few minutes. And like Maya Moore is one of them as well. I don't remember that game, but I know she, did you guys have any notes? I'm pretty sure she changed from a wet, because she looked like she might be injured That was in the first half, I think. I think it was her. I noticed she changed from like a white leg sleeve to a black leg sleeve. I wasn't sure what that was about.
It worked.
Yeah.
And we can talk about Hannah Stuckey going against toe-to-toe with these All-American bigs. Like, you want to give Hannah Stuckey a test. Like, just like, hey, we're going to find out.
Yeah.
Camila Cardoso.
Well, do you want to talk about Sunday now? Do you have anything else you want to say about tonight?
I don't think I have much more else to say about tonight.
Yeah, I think ultimately it played out the way a lot of people expected, or even more so, South Carolina ultimately prevailing 78-59, so kudos to them. So it's a pretty good night for the Herd Hoop Stats model, the number one and number two team that are in the championship game. We actually had the UConn-Iowa game at two-point Iowa win, so I was feeling good about that. And I will say, for South Carolina, Iowa, I think it gives South Carolina a 67% chance to win and predicts a 3.6% margin. So I guess I'll start by asking you, do you think that seems about right? Do you think South Carolina should be favored by more than that, like more likely to win than that? Or do you think Iowa should have a better chance than that? Where do you think it is?
I think South Carolina's probably, I don't know that they're more than 67% likely to win it, because that's a pretty high probability, but like I don't think I would expect them
actually,
to win.
Actually, I'm sorry. I think I misspoke. It might be 60.
Okay. Well, regardless, I think that they probably win it by more than 3 points. I think I was really going to struggle with Camila Cardoso, but also not just Cardoso, but Ashton Walker. Like, just the amount of depth and length that South Carolina has, particularly in the post, and their ability to rebound the ball. As great as Hannah Stuckey was tonight, like, that is a lot to ask of a sophomore. That is also 6'2" compared to Camila Cardoso's 6'7".
Yes. What do you think,
Alan? I think 3.6 sounds a little bit low to me. I don't think South Carolina's going to win by what they win by tonight, 20.
Yeah.
But I was going to need a lot more out of Caitlin Clark if they're going to win this game. Iowa won tonight by most people's standards, that would have been a good game. By Caitlin Clark's standards, it wasn't a great game. They still won. Because everybody else stepped up and still we talk about Kate Martin has a big bucket down the stretch in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
People making plays like that. Sidney Falter was awesome on the boards. I think they're going to need all that again, but they're also going to need one of those vintage, like what Caitlin Clark did in the last 40 points, double type points is what she did to LSU. They're going to need something like that and everybody else stepping up if they're going to want to compete in this game. So if that doesn't happen, I think it's fun.
Yeah, 3.6, but it's 50% chance for South Carolina. Yeah, it feels, I don't know, the vibe to me just feels like South Carolina's got to be, I think I probably give South Carolina more of a chance than that. They just have so much depth, as I said. I mean, we've seen, you could argue that it's probably good from an Iowa perspective that Caitlin Clark didn't have, an unbelievable tonight, because then she can kind of be due in the championship game when the lights are, but I mean, because last year she scored, 40.3 games in a row in the tournament?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, just like, that's hard to do. Like, it's hard to sustain that. So, obviously she's going to need to be more aggressive, and it's going to be fascinating to see the defense that South Carolina plays, how Dawn Staley decides to try and limit her, all the different people they're going to be able to throw, what kind of length, how she kind of allocates those minutes.
That's what I'm interested in, because the other thing that I think hurt South Carolina last year besides shooting was on the other side of the floor, the way that they guarded Caitlin Clark and Iowa, which is really how they guard everybody, and it works 99.9% of the time. But just played straight up one-on-one, and they stayed home on shooters. Gabby Marshall, face guard in the corner, and Caitlin just got to the rim whenever she wanted. And they said, we'll let Caitlin score 40. We're not going to let her dish out to open shooters, and that didn't work. So I'm very interested to see how they guard and if they come with that same game plan tomorrow, or if they try to turn Caitlin into more of a 20-point, 15 assist night instead of a 40 and 5 assists.
Yeah, I think that's going to be one of the keys to the game for South Carolina's perspective. Obviously, I think it's going to start with Ruby Johnson, probably sticking to Caitlin Clark like glue. But I do think that's going to be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah,
it might look something similar to what you put in. I feel like that's probably the good starting point. Yeah, honestly.
I saw a lot of chatter about that on Twitter that they laid the blueprint and presumably have the talent to be even more effective at it than so yeah, it'll be interesting what Clark's mentality is, whether she goes back, watches the tape, feels like, oh, I could have been more aggressive in the first half. And we weren't really winning in the first half, so maybe I need to kind of go back. Go out guns blazing, as they say, in her final game of her. She called it her career, right? Just her college career. I think the one thing that's, you know, nice is that we have so many good players look forward to. But yeah, it seems like it's a Herculean task. You're saying NC State seemed loose, super loose. I mean, you definitely could have seen that in their press conferences on Thursday, as I'm losing track of time. And I can't imagine that I was going to feel loose like that.
I think Iowa, that's the pressure.
Yeah, it felt like maybe they felt a little bit of the pressure to open the game. Maybe they'll feel a little less of, you know, South Carolina's favorite this time.
I think part of them starting to give us probably pressure, but I also they haven't seen a defense like what you have played on them.
Yeah.
Like, LSU didn't bring that, and, like, they played that place that intensive defense for a while.
Yeah, so it'll be fascinating game. It's gonna be a great showcase. The ratings are going through the roof, and you know, for those who think the game was rigged tonight, I am not among them. Certainly we got the game that I think America some level probably wanted on Sunday. Calvin, you're laughing there. What do you think?
That's what Caleb said in her press conference, that every game we play now is what everybody wanted. We played LSU,
yeah,
everybody wanted to play UConn, that's what everybody wanted. Now we play South Carolina. Everybody wants.
Yeah, and South Carolina wanted this too, I'm sure. So it's going to be great on Sunday, and I can't wait to see it. I don't know. Any other deep thoughts before we sign off? That's
Push out.
Yeah, it's 2:12 a.m. I think it's good to call it.
Okay, well, thanks so much. Cheers for this. Calvin, I see you haven't had too much, but cheers to a great night. Thanks for staying up late here, and thanks to all of you for tuning in to the Her Hoop Stats podcast. Keep following us the rest of the weekend, and subscribe to our stats site, herhoopstats.com. And thanks again.